I'd like to begin this morning with something I hope will make you smile. Church Signs 2022, Part 2. Number one, don't let the good things of life rob you of the best. Two, be the good God made you to be. Three, a clear conscience makes a soft pillow. Four, this is very relevant right now, invest in heaven, stock is up. Five, the best way to have the last word, apologize. Six, when all is dark, God's love shines brightest. Seven, I ask God, why are you taking me through troubled waters? He replied, because your enemies can't swim. Eight, our church is a gift from God, but assembly is required. Nine, when life gets too hard to stand, kneel. And 10, God truly loves you. Wow. I hope that was a blessing to you. The title of this morning's message is A Better Deal. A Better Deal. You remember years ago when you studied history, American history, and you heard about the New Deal? We've got something better than the New Deal. We've got a better deal. It's taken from the book of Hebrews. And the key text is Hebrews 12:24. You might want to look that up with me. Hebrews 12:24. Hebrews 12:24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The key word is better. The author, it's been debated, but officially it's still unknown. The theme is the superiority of Christianity, and this wonderful book was written around 68 AD. It was written to Hebrew Christians, that is, Jewish Christians. These Hebrew Christians have believed in Jesus for a long time, but they're starting to drift back into the legalism of Judaism. Eric Hayden, a great Bible scholar, said, as Jews, they had a wonderful past, including a culture of worship, the prophets, priests, kings, poets, and statesmen. But they needed to be reminded that Jesus was the real capstone of their faith. Instead of trying to find salvation and eternal life through rule-keeping and trying to be good enough, that doesn't work, I can tell you. They needed to remember that Jesus died on the cross to give them eternal life and salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Acts 16:31b says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Aaron was appointed to be the high priest. Aaron and his sons had to make many animal sacrifices for sin, including the annual atonement sacrifice. Aaron had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin as well. Leviticus 16:34 tells us, this is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. Jesus shed his own blood for our sins, and he did it once for all. His sacrifice was better. The word better is used 13 times in the book of Hebrews. I remember when we moved to Brockton, all of a sudden they had a big yard and a big lawn to take care of. And my little grandsons, now they're big, Duncan and Evan came over to help me mow, and it was a big help. Well, the first 2 years, we pushed that lawn with a push mower. It was a lot of work. Finally, I bit the bullet and went out and bought a used John Deere rider mower. And you should have seen their eyes light up when they saw that rider. It was better. Henrietta Mears, who was a wonderful woman of God, said this, In Hebrews, we learn that Jesus is one, greater than the prophets. Two, greater than the angels. Three, greater than Moses. Four, greater than Joshua. And five, greater than Aaron. Our first point this morning is the superiority of the person of Christ. Hebrews chapters 1:1 through 4:13. Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 teach us about the deity and humanity of our Lord. He is God and man. He is our great high priest. Think for a moment about the superiority of Christ. The Lord Jesus is greater or better than any human leader. He is God's Son. He is the heir of all things. He created the universe. He himself is very God. He sustains all things by his word. He cleansed us from sin. He sat down at the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus is greater than the angels. He has the more excellent name of Son. The angels worship him. He is the eternal God. His throne is forever, and he's ruler of the coming age. Many years ago, Franklin Graham made his first visit to Eastern Europe. When he got there, he was surprised the respect that he was paid simply because he was Billy Graham's son. Well, the Billy Graham team is made up of a lot of powerful men and women of God, and they're a lot better known than Franklin, or they were at that time. But simply because he was the son, they showed him special respect, especially the church leaders. Even more so, we should show special respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, you might not know this, but I have a friendly rivalry with Pastor Bruce, and he kind of likes the Chicago teams overall, and I tend to like the Boston teams. And in 2016, the Chicago Cubs, after over a century from their last World Series, finally won the World Series again. And he was all excited, and I said, "You're welcome." "Well, what?" "Well, we helped you, you know. We sent a bunch of Red Sox players up there and helped you win. We showed them how it's done." Now, seriously, players do move around quite a bit. But in 2016, it was a great celebration for the city of Chicago. People lined the parade routes. They filled the park. They estimated there were 5 million people involved in the celebration. That was a great celebration. I also remember in 2004 when the Red Sox won their World Series. And that was a great celebration, too. I won't ask for hands, but I know a lot of you actually participated in it or watched it on TV or went in person. But that was a great celebration. Now, my own little home team, the Brockton Rocks, won their championship in 2003. And that was a big celebration for the city of Brockton. In fact, they even had mini helicopter fly in with KO, the team mascot, and he jumped out of the helicopter to applause and cheers with a giant trophy when they won their championship or their World Series, if you will. But you know, those celebrations are nothing, nothing compared to the celebration that will take place when the Lord Jesus returns and takes over this world and rules it with perfect love and truth and fairness. Our second point is the superiority of the priesthood of Christ. Hebrews 4:14 through 10:18. Hebrews shows the priesthood of Christ is greater than the priesthood of the Levitical law. The central point in the book is Christ's eternal priesthood and his sacrifice that availed for the sin of the world. Christ is himself God. Listen to the word. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:14-16. Jesus Christ not only had the qualifications of a priest like Aaron, the earthly high priest, he was also a high priest forever after the order of the eternal Melchizedek priesthood, because this priesthood is continuous and will never end. The Aaronic priest could not make people perfect because they themselves were sinful. But Jesus is eternal and sinless. Jesus was the better priest and the better sacrifice. In Old Testament times, God agreed to forgive people's sins if they sacrificed animals. I remember when I was a little guy going to vacation Bible school, and they explained how the system worked in the Old Testament. I said, wow, wouldn't that be great if I could have my sins forgiven by sacrificing an animal? I thought about it. I do a lot of wrong things. I'm going to have to sacrifice a lot. But animal blood did not in itself remove sin and had to be repeated day by day and year by year. The animal sacrifices only look forward to the real sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus instituted a new covenant. Under this new and better covenant, Jesus would die in the place of sinners. Unlike the blood of animals, his blood would truly remove the sins of all who put their faith in him. Jesus' sacrifice would never have to be repeated. It was good for all eternity. And it's good for you, put your name there, for all eternity. Once you've asked Jesus into your heart, his sacrifice is good for you for all eternity. And the prophets look forward to this new agreement. Our third point is the superiority of the life of Christ. Hebrews 10:19-13:25. Hebrews tells us the kind of life we should live because of Christ's work for us as high priest. We know that he is at the right hand of God and that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He takes us by the hand and guides us and helps us all through our Christian lives. I've seen it over and over again, how God has protected me and corrected me and helped me as I travel along the Christian road. After we've accepted Christ, there are levels of Christian living. Imagine an apartment house. It's a big apartment house. Maybe it's in downtown Middleborough. Maybe it's in Brockton. Maybe it's even in Lakeville, though it's pretty rural there. But wherever it is, there's a big apartment house. It sort of symbolizes the Christian life. When we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, we move into the apartment house. But as we often do when we're just starting out in life, we move into the basement apartment. And what do we get? We got a little bit of light, and we can see a little bit out there, but not a whole lot. As we grow in our faith, we move up to the first floor. But there's still a lot of noise, and the view is not perfect. And so we continue to grow in our faith. And eventually, we get to the top floor, and the air is clear up there, and there's no noise from the traffic. It's just beautiful up there, and we really like it. We can see maybe mountains or cranberry bogs or trees or whatever might be there. We just enjoy that view. That's what God wants for us in a spiritual sense. He wants us to grow deeper and deeper in our faith. He wants to bless us more and more in all sorts of new ways we can't even imagine. You know, we all want to have a working faith. The secret of Christian living is simply allowing Christ to meet our needs. Some say, I just have no faith. I just can't really believe. Yet we constantly place our faith in fellow human beings, don't we? Whether it's the doctor or the lawyer or the bus driver. I remember I used to work for Gospel Light Publications, and they'd fly us out. I'd fly out from Boston to L.A., for meetings, for training, and just to meet with the staff and learn all sorts of great new things about the projects they were working on. I would get on the plane in Boston. I might not even meet the pilot, but I would trust him or her to get me safely to LA and, of course, eventually back again. My life was literally in the pilot's hands. I trusted the pilot. How much more so can I trust God? Imagine there's a light switch over on the wall there, and you walk over the switch and you turn it on. You lift it up. What's the result? Light and power. And that's the same thing that God wants to do in our lives. Give us light and give us power. It's simply an act of the will. Either we believe God or we don't. When we decide to believe God absolutely, then supernatural life and power will enter our lives. Jesus lived a perfect life in words and deeds. Once we ask him into our hearts, he helps us live a better life. Remember, it's not going to be perfect here on earth. It's going to be better. Hopefully, we'll keep improving. We slip back and have to start back up again sometimes, but overall, our Christian lives are getting better. Once we ask him into our hearts, he helps us live that better life. An acrostic that I like says this about faith. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I take him. Faith, forsaking all, I take him. There was a young woman, and she was very unhappy in her home. She always went about sad and depressed, and she always complained about her parents and other relatives that lived in her home. She was just miserable, and she just always looked so sad and dejected. She just dragged herself along the sidewalk. One day, all of a sudden, she had a big smile. There was a spring in her step, and she was so happy. And her friend said, oh, things must have improved at home. Things must have changed. And she said, no, I'm the one that's changed. God made the difference in that young woman's life. She said, I'm the one that's different. The young woman's outlook was brighter, her relationships with others were transformed. It wasn't because her circumstances had improved, but because she experienced a change in her heart. And that's what we all need to do. We need to experience a change in our heart. Once we accept Jesus into our hearts, that's the big change. But there are other changes. There are other mile markers along the trail. And we'll continue to grow and change in our Christian lives. And one day, when we see Jesus face to face, all our sins will just melt away. All our problems will be gone. But until then, we need to keep working. We need to keep trusting. And we need to keep believing. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. To be a peacemaker, let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Jesus is the way to peace. And we can begin right now, just as we talked about with the children, by asking him into our hearts. Let's choose today. Let's choose what's better. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the book of Hebrews. And we pray that we might be challenged as well, just like the Jewish Christians were many years ago, to continue to go forward and grow in our Christian faith. Help us to trust in you only for our salvation and realize that it is a gift from you. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive our sins, come into our hearts, and make us members of your family. Dear Lord, we believe in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.